Well, good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to worship this morning. A very warm welcome to anyone who's worshipping with us for the first time. If we do have any visitors, coffee is served as usual in the lounge, and we'll be glad to make your acquaintance. And a special welcome to our friends who will be listening later in Carr's Court. A couple of sad things to announce. Those of you who've been around a long time may remember a gentleman called Dennis Sitch. Does that ring any bells with anyone? Yeah. He unfortunately passed away during the week. And also one of our recent members, Kim, who's not here today, her husband, Paul, also passed away this week. Right, that's the sad news over. Couple of better things. Next week we do have the joint service. I talked about it last week and asked for sort of names of people who will be staying for the lunch and also any volunteers for making soup. For those of you who are undecided last week, hopefully you've made up your minds in the intervening week. So if there's anybody who I haven't got down on my list, please do let me know. I shall be coming around and worrying you all at lunchtime, coffee time I should say. Basically just so I know how many sandwiches and things and how much soup to make. Last time we were a bit over embarrassed, too much catering. Today we also have the retiring collection at the end of the service, and that's for our charity of the month, which is the Vision Beyond Autism. And finally, although it's a very sad thing that poor old Louise has got a sore throat, it does mean that we get two for the price of one today. So we have David Clowes and Louise Goff who will be leading today's service following our intro from the choir.
You're my shepherd. So, let us talk to God. Lord, every time we enter this place, it feels like we're coming home. We know there is no place that we cannot find you, and your presence cannot be restricted by time and space. Yet, here we have those precious moments to worship you and to focus our thoughts and our longings on your glory. To meet together as your people brings joy to our hearts, and it feels like a foretaste of joining the heavenly choir. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to bring you our thanksgiving, that all we say and do and desire may honour your great name. We pray that our songs of praise will rejoice your heart, and that our prayers will be heard before the throne of grace. Great and wonderful God, it is our greatest pleasure to worship you, for you alone are sovereign over all things, even life itself. You alone are God, for you rule over the whole of creation, and our world, in its beauty and richness, praises its Maker. To worship you is the greatest task you have set us, and to live for your glory is our highest achievement. Everything else we can do in this world pales into insignificance compared to singing of your love. We praise you for who you are and for all you mean to us. And we bring words of adoration in response to your grace. To walk with you through the days of our lives is to discover the true meaning of fulfillment, of joy and thanksgiving. Let us praise the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we confess that we have set boundaries to our worship, and set times when we will offer you thanksgiving. We confess that we gather together to offer you our praises, but our praises end as we leave the church. We confess our lives often sing a different song, and our days are not filled with the glory of your name. We confess that we treat you like an elderly relative that we visit once a week, and we've forgotten that the whole of creation is where we must praise you. We confess that too often our words and our attitudes deny your presence, and we have yet to learn that the whole world cannot contain your glory. Forgive us for thinking we can leave you behind at the end of the service, and so set us on fire that we will be unable to contain our songs of joy. Come, Lord Jesus, come, that we may worship you here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, I know you're all very friendly people here, but I just thought it would be nice if we welcomed each other properly. So if you just shake hands with people around you, it would just be very good, wouldn't it? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to see you. Morning. Morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Right, do you know why you do that? Do you know why you shake hands? It came from when it originated. People shook hands because they're saying, there's no weapon in my hand. You can trust me. I'm going to be your friend. That's where it started. Now, if you'd lived in the days of Jesus, you wouldn't have gone around saying good morning to me. You wouldn't have said hi, anything like that, or sent each other a text, I assure you. What you'd have said is, Caesar is Lord, and you'd have responded, the Lord is Caesar. But you see, because the early Christians didn't want to do that, because they didn't want to worship Caesar, they wanted to say, we can actually trust Jesus, because he's our friend, and he's very special to us. And in the passage we're going to hear in a moment from Matthew, it's all about being Jesus' friend and trusting him, because he provides not what we want, but what we need. And so the early Christians said, Jesus is Lord. Let's have our first reading, please.
First reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and let your heavenly Father, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen.
I think the young people are going to leave us at this point. Before you do, we're going to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're all precious to you, and that we can be your friend, and we can trust you with the whole of our lives. And we pray both in church and with the young people, we all may learn how precious we are and how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The second reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Amen.
I don't think you noticed that reference to the saints at the end. Perhaps we ought to take a straw poll this morning. Hands up if you think you're a saint. Well, I am surprised. It only means Christian. In the Bible, the word saint, it's not about stained glass windows. It simply means those who love Jesus. Right. So hands up those who are saints. Thank you. Oh, I'm glad we got that one right. We're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's lovely to see you, and I'm very grateful to David for doing the service this morning. I've had laryngitis all week, haven't been able to speak at all, really. It just started to come back yesterday. So the bad news is I did actually make it. I know you're meant to start sermons with something that gets everybody's attention and appeals to everyone. But I'm going to fail already, because I'm pretty sure that not everybody here is going to be interested in the next bit. You see, there have been two royal weddings in the last few months, so we really need to talk about the outfits. You see what I mean? So let's start with Megan. There she is. Or, as I call her, Meghan Markle, no sparkle. Because when I first saw her on the big day, I was watching it on my phone at Trinity, I thought, is that it? Now, I know she had a nice diamond tiara, but everything else looked really, really plain to me. And if it was me and the whole world was watching me, I would have gone for maximum bling. And I know that there is detail in her outfit, and I began to appreciate that as the wedding day wore on. But it's very, very subtle, and if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't really know. I actually prefer the outfits on Strictly. I think if Vicky Gill had dressed Meghan, it would have been a very different kettle of fish. So sorry, Meghan. So we'll move on to Eugenie. And I definitely thought she'd make a bit of a splash. But no. Very plain again. Boring, I thought. Although I know she made a show of showing her scar. She does look lovely. I just thought, there's no sequins there, is there? There's no feathers. It's just not like Strictly. And I know that all this is completely trivial, really, and none of it matters at all. Except, as my mum tried to drum into me for years, clothes do matter. And even if they're not very nice, at least they keep you warm and stop you from being arrested. So I thought we'd think a bit today about clothes. And I have gone off lectionary, but hopefully not off theology or faith. You see, it says in the Bible that God wears clothes. Sorry, that's not strictly true. But the Bible just tells us the kind of thing that God is clothed in. Psalm 93, verse 1. God is clothed in majesty and strength. And Psalm 104 says that God is clothed with honour and majesty, wrapped in light as a garment. And it's another way of trying to express God's mystery and God's holy otherness. But we know at heart that God is love. And that's the important bit. What's inside, what God is. We can't see God, but we know that God is love. We don't know what God looks like, but we recognise God's love at work. And that shows that often, despite being a mystery, God comes very close indeed. So we know then that God is clothed in light. Even though I believe that God is at the heart of the deepest darkness too. But the Bible also tells us that God clothes us. And in Genesis, right at the very beginning, there's some very moving verses which show just how close God is and how loving. And the verses tell us that after they'd eaten the forbidden fruit, God made garments for Adam and Eve and clothed them. We talked about two for the price of one this morning. But when I was a little, me and my little sister were two for the price of one because we always had the same clothes because Mum would make them. She'd make all our outfits and knit all our jumpers, a little one and a slightly larger one. And she'd even make outfits for our dolls while we sat and watched her. And what an incredibly loving thing to do. My mum sitting there stitching things just for us. God does that for Adam and Eve. I love the image of God as garment maker. God's making clothes for us. And it speaks of something really caring, the best kind of parental. God being intimately involved and meeting our every need. And after all, the reading that we heard from Matthew tells us that God is the one who clothes the grass in the field and the flowers. So how much more will God clothe us? And to top it all, it says in Ezekiel that I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet. And I wrapped you in fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a sparkling crown on your head. You see, God's on my side. God likes the sparkle as well. All these things speak of God's love. But what kind of clothes does God want us to have? It says in Isaiah that God clothes us with the garments of salvation and wraps us with the robes of righteousness. So you can think of that when you put your dressing gown on in the morning. And it chimes in with what we heard from the reading from Ephesians, the armour of God. I have to be honest and confess that I struggle with some of the concepts in this passage. And I struggle with the imagery of warfare and armour. And I know that for some, especially people in the forces, that's their daily experience. But it's not mine. And in the passage, the implication is that the battle is spiritual. But I can't even begin to explain what we sometimes call spiritual warfare, when it seems that doing godly things and good things attracts opposition. So by rights, I probably shouldn't have chosen this passage at all. But there's still a lot in it that speaks to me. And maybe it helps us to think more generally about Ephesians. And when you read between the lines, it strikes me that this letter was written to a very diverse church community, and maybe one that was having problems with conflict. I'm sure that doesn't happen in your church council, does it? Everybody sweetness and light. This letter, you see, is all about unity. And there would be no need to write about unity if everybody was getting along fine. But with lots of people from lots of different backgrounds, there were bound to be issues. So Ephesians talks about how to live together in harmony and how to make things work when relationships are a challenge. And more importantly, why? And we get the why towards the beginning of the letter when we're reminded that God wants to bless us with every possible spiritual blessing so that we can know the full extent of God's love. And the letter contains one of my favourite passages in the Bible, chapter 3, which talks so much about the height and depth of Christ's love that you can hear the language straining. It reminds us that in God's power, we can achieve more than we can ask for or ever imagine. It boggles the mind. And in this same letter, we get the words about how to manage that and how to cope when things are difficult and when troubles come. You can put on the armour of God, or maybe we can call it the protection of God. Some of you might be familiar with the prayer of St. Patrick's breastplate. And in the hymn form, it uses the words, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. bind unto myself today the power of great love. I bind unto myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my needs, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the words of God to give me speech. Maybe this was the prayer that Patrick used when he was getting dressed in the morning. With every layer he put on, he imagined himself binding himself into God's love as he put on his clothes. I did actually do an internet search yesterday of Celtic undergarments because I didn't know I know people had belts and tunics. I didn't know what was going on underneath, and I wasn't very much wiser. We can think about binding ourselves into God's love as we put on our clothes every morning. We can imagine clothing ourselves in God's strength, as I think Patrick did. And Celtic Christians were very good at praying through the ordinary things and bringing God into everything. So we can put on the clothing of Christ, and maybe we can think of it as our uniform. Even when we haven't got our own strength, because it's got used up or it's been bashed out of us, we can put on the clothes that God gives us and be strong in God. And this is what the passage from Ephesians calls us to do. It says, even when life is tough, when there are problems, when your heart is broken, when the diagnosis is bad, when everything has gone wrong and life seems rubbish, we can call on the strength of God. We can bind ourselves into God's love. And it says elsewhere that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. The clothing of Christ can be our strength. God has given us gifts to help us through these painful and difficult times when we feel that we might be a little bit under attack by life. We can put on the belt of truth. And this is a good one for those times when we doubt ourselves, or when communication's difficult, or when there's injustice, or when others are twisting our words and we end up feeling confused and hurt. And the reality is, if you can imagine it, we're standing in the middle of a circle of truth, and it's wrapped around our waists. And that truth is that God is love, that God loves us, that Jesus was raised to show that woundedness and pain can be transformed. Belts are often called upon to hold trousers up. In the same way, the truth holds us up. These truths, God's truth, the truth of God's love, and a truth that assures us of our integrity, the integrity we have through the grace and the gift of Jesus. We are encircled in God's truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness probably isn't the kind of word we use every day. Has anybody used it this week? Has anyone said righteousness this week? Anyway, it just means one who is right, especially one who is right with God. I know it's a hard, old-fashioned word, but the breastplate of righteousness reminds us that we are right with God. It reminds us that we're forgiven and loved, that we're in relationship with God, that God loves us. The breastplate of righteousness means that we belong to God. It's as though God has put a seal around our hearts because we belong to God. So it doesn't matter what gets thrown at us. It will bounce off. Because the most important thing is what nobody can ever touch, and that's the relationship with God. We belong to God. I'm not very good at this, but we also have the shoes of peace. And these remind us that even in the middle of the hardest times, or when we're in conflict, we stand in the shoes of peace. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a conflict situation or someone really hurts me, my natural human reaction is to want the person who is upsetting me to do one or worse. And I know that I can't give them a good kicking, but I really want to. And this passage reminds us that as Jesus's people, we're called to a different response. We can represent Jesus by loving our enemies, by not retaliating, by making peace. And that's got to be good news. And we know that Jesus's response to the pain others inflicted on him was that he was able to take on the cross, which was good news. And maybe in life sometimes we have to remind ourselves to walk in the shoes of peace, and we have to try and train ourselves to do that no matter what. We're clothed with a shield of faith. We just have to keep holding on to all that we know of God, and often go beyond what's rational and logical to the place where we just meet God in faith, and our faith tells us that God's got us. We wear the helmet of salvation. When I lived in Nottingham umpteen years ago, I went everywhere by bike, and I loved it, me and my blue cycle. And I turned up at every church meeting with my cycle helmet under my arm. And it was only years later when I got my bike out again to do a cycle ride with the young kids from church, my first church, I realised that for all those years, I'd been wearing my hat back to front. The helmet of salvation is Jesus' hard hat. And it says that we belong to Jesus, and no matter what happens to us, whether our lives are long or short, nothing can change because we already have the gift of eternal life. The sword of the Spirit, God's words, the words we need to speak. There are words in the Bible for every possible situation. Jesus is the word of God. And then the passage goes on to say that we should pray at all times. We can pray at all times. We can clothe ourselves in prayer. And maybe we can imagine that every prayer we say is like another row of knitting. It just grows and grows until we can wrap each prayer around ourselves, and the whole world can be a blanket of God's love. I know the images in Ephesians can be a bit hard to grasp, and they use words that take some thinking about. But these words in Colossians are easier. I wished I'd realised it before I'd done the work for the rest. The words in Colossians say, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So tomorrow morning, when you get up and you have to get dressed, don't just reach for the thing you plan to wear, or pick something up off the floor, depending on what type of person you are. As you get dressed, be very conscious about what you are putting on. Remember to bind truth to your waist. Remember that your heart is sealed by God's love. Put on the shoes of peace and take every step conscious that you're wearing them. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience and love. Lots of times throughout the day, remind yourself that you're wearing these things. I know it's a lot to remember, so maybe choose one and have a go with that to start with. the thing that fits you best for that day. Think of it often as the day goes by. It will help you to pray and to know that God is with you. And even if you're wearing a dustbin bag or something old you got from the back of your wardrobe or something that came from a charity shop or something that really is fit for the bin, you will be wearing a truly special outfit, an utterly dazzling outfit, better than any earthly designer could design or any earthly dressmaker could stitch. You will be wearing the love of God. And if anyone asks for your garment, as we know they sometimes did in the Bible, because Jesus says, if anyone asks for your cloak, let them have your shirt as well. If someone asks you, give it to them, because these clothes of love are meant for sharing. Amen.
We come to our prayers for others, and after each short prayer, I will say, the Lord hears our prayer. Then we say together, thanks be to God. The Lord hears our prayer, thanks be to God. Let's talk to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle. And in the silence, we remember prison officers, prison governors, and all working involved in working with convicted prisoners. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle. And in the silence we remember members of the armed forces seeking to keep peace in dangerous places. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle. And in the silence, remember those working for charity organisations as they seek to bring food, water and education to the poorest places on earth. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle. And in the silence we remember the work of victim support as they care for those damaged in body, mind or spirit. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle. And in the silence, remember the members of the Fire Brigade, the RNI, Mountain Rescue, as they risk their lives to save others. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle. And in the silence, remember research chemists, and all who work in laboratories seeking to discover new drugs and better treatments for people longing to find wholeness and health. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle. And in the silence, remember police officers, judges, magistrates, in the stressful situations they face, and the integrity that is demanded of them. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those whom life is a battle. And in the silence, remember ordinary people who struggle with frustration and battle to cope with their bitter disappointment and times of abuse. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is a battle, and in the silence remember those for whom we are especially concerned. And today we remember Kim, whose husband Paul has died this week. And for ourselves, and the battles we face, and we will face in the coming days of this week. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We bring our prayers in the name of Jesus, who is the strength for every battle we face. Amen. We sing the hymn 558, I Come with Joy, a Child of God. Come to our communion. God, who finds a home in hearts, we lift our hearts to you. Young hearts, old hearts, tired hearts, grateful hearts, hearts bearing scars and fissures, and evidence of mending, the handiwork of your love. We praise you that we can come as we are and meet you here. find a place at your table and a home, here in your company and among each other we belong. God, for your gentleness and welcome, for your watchfulness over us, for your work in our lives, being present in this beautiful, complex world, we offer our thanks and praise. God, for sending Jesus, friend of the broken, specialist in bruised lives, empathizer with the lost, the confused, the anxious, and those brave enough to face mistakes and try again. We offer our thanks and praise. God, for your ever-present Spirit, encircling us in care, filling us with courage, calling us to the paths that lead to peace, prompting our journey and exploration, and expanding our faith. We offer our thanks and praise. Here in the congregation of your people, those gathered in this place and the great company of believers from time and eternity, we lift our hearts to sing your praise. God, who is above us, your love surrounds us. We cry out in praise. Come again into our hearts and lives and transform us with your love. God, who is beyond us, we worship you. At the night he was betrayed, having faced the demons of fear and temptation, having wrestled with his vocation and questioned his call, having first suspected and then accepted the horror of the waiting cross, Jesus sat with his disciples and shared that last meal, redundant with meaning. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, knowing that he would soon be broken. "This is my body. It is broken for you," he said. He took a cup of wine, gave thanks, and shared it with his disciples, knowing that his life blood too would soon be drained to the ground. "This is my life. It is poured out for you," he said. Jesus, you gave yourself in love for us. You overcame your apprehension, others' opposition, the easier path, those who favoured violence, the need to justify yourself, the terror of pain, the agony of the cross, and came through death, giving love the last word and hope to every soul that the goodness of God will always succeed as we share the fruits of your mission and the gifts of your table. Enable us to know the joy of your presence now and always. Amen. We take the bread and we break it in the knowledge that Christ was broken that we might be made whole. We invite you all to come share bread and wine. You all belong, and this is the table of the Lord. The body of Christ was given for you. The body of Christ was given for you. The body of Christ was given for you. Jesus says, "I know the battles you face each day. Battles with your health, with your memories, and with today. Lord, help us to know that you are with us. Amen." When you do know what to say or what to do, trust me. Hold my hand. I will be with you. Amen. The body of Christ was given for you. 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 Living God, present with us as we take this bread and wine, You have shown us we are not alone. You are with us. You have given us each other. In Christ's company, together we have shared your gifts around your table, that we might be nourished and sustained, inspired and strengthened, to live the good news of your love, not just for ourselves, not just for each other, but for everyone. For this and for all your love, we bring our thanks and praise. Amen. Now we make our gifts to God. Lord, we brought you our gifts. Use this money that those who know you may love you more, and those who don't know you may come to know the love that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. 52 years ago, it was the week before our wedding, and I was going down to see my fiancée at her home. It was a Sunday afternoon. I was involved in a horrendous road crash that day. The car was nearly a write-off, but not quite. I came out without a scratch, badly shaken. And we went to church that Sunday evening, and we sang a hymn, In Heavenly Love Abiding. And that hymn has always meant a lot to me and my wife ever since. And so you understand it means something to me today. In Heavenly Love Abiding. Into your presence to give thanks and praise. You send us out to announce the wonder of your name. We came to worship you with heart and soul and strength. You send us now with songs of praise in our hearts. We came because you are worthy of all we can offer. You send us out to prove your power and to make all things new. We came unworthy, alone, still seeking. You send us out as those you have found, as those you've made worthy, as those who are no longer alone. We were called by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You send us out in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Thank you very much.